this week on Jaguars Weekend. With the bye week in the rearview mirror, the Jags are ready to make their move in the AFC South.
You really don't know what it all entails.
Riding the storm out, we sit down with the head coach to talk about how an NFL team prepares for a storm and a walk to remember with the Jags. All that and more ahead on Jaguars Weekend.
This is Jaguars Weekend, brought to you by GEICO. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance. Visit geico.com for a free rate quote. EverBank, it's your money. Make the most of it. And by Cadillac.
We just came off a bye week, and let's get this thing going here a little bit. Really see some progress made in some of the things that we know we need to get corrected. And it just seems like a real tight focus that way.
Head coach Gus Bradley this past Monday, and that's good to hear with the Jaguars coming off the bye week. Welcome into Jaguars Weekend. JP Shadrick with you at the team room inside EverBank Field. The Jaguars back at it after the bye week, and they're trying to carry that momentum from the week four win at Wembley against the Indianapolis Colts. That's been a while, though, and the next quarter of the season is very difficult with three road games out of the next four. How do the Jaguars get back to it, getting ready for Chicago? Let's take a closer look. As the cleanup around EverBank Field from Hurricane Matthew continued, the Jaguars returned from the bye week ready to move forward.
We feel very fortunate to be here still and to be able to practice at our facilities.
With a key player down for the season, the focus up front is filling that void.
We got a great group all the way across the line. Guys that are just, willing to, play for the guy next to them no matter who it is and, try to get the job done and win one for the team.
The defense looks to continue to build momentum from the week four win in London.
And it's just us as a unit playing together. It's going to be the keep going. You know what I mean? It's easy to start off, but when you get later in the season and it's crunch time, who are you now?
The second quarter of the season is a tough stretch. Three out of four games on the road starting this week in Chicago.
Hopefully the bye week allowed everybody to rest up and get healthy and just be on that and continue to go forward. You know, we can't look too far into our season. We have to look only at Chicago and play the game that we know we can play.
We welcome in Brian Sexton and John Osier and Subway. Eat fresh. It's going to get us through Jaguars weekend. The next month of this Jaguars season, guys, is very difficult. Three of the four games coming up are on the road. That's a tough stretch.
Well, and you got to get them, and that's the problem with starting 0-3, right, is all of a sudden everything feels like a must win. I think if they can get three of these next four and get back to 500, I think then you'll sort of feel like they made up for that one out here that they should have gotten against Baltimore.
Well, I think I've been on the record right here as saying I think they could get all four. I mean, all four of these games are games against opponents that they can win. I mean, it's not like you're
talking about another winning streak.
Well, they got one, right?
Okay, good.
They got one. They got one. And I think that these are easier road trips. I mean, they've been to San Diego, mm-hmm. and then the road trip to London is the longest one they take all year. So I'm not even worried about winning on the road. What I'd like to see is this team go do what they need to do. And Greg Olsen said it earlier in this week, run the ball, set up the offense, play that London formula you've been talking about. It's this next month is going to be the story of their season.
And historically, this hasn't been a great road team the last couple years, so you got to get better.
Yeah, and it's a good time. If they do get better, they'll be right in the thick of the AFC South race. The Texans are 3-2. They lead the way. They haven't shown a lot. The rest of the teams are right there. Everybody's all bunched together.
Well, and you've got the Texans and the Colts playing on Sunday Night Football this weekend. Yeah. So you're going to see some things fall out, really. I mean, look, no team can separate in this division right now. The Texans' best player is sitting on the sideline. They have a quarterback they don't know much about. The best offensive player in the division is Andrew Luck. And the defense we don't know much about, right? Or maybe we do. And then in Tennessee, you've got a quarterback, a young guy, and a defense that's kind of trying to find its legs. Go win it.
Yeah. This, to me, feels a lot like the five or six games last year where we sat in here saying, if the Jaguars can just get these next couple, they're back in it because the rest of the division isn't playing well. At some point, if you think you're an ascending team, ascend.
If we're still using the word if a month from now,
okay. Right,
after this four-game stretch, it is a missed opportunity of incredible significance for this franchise.
Yeah, and a lot of that, if they get it done, comes down to number five. Quarterback's got to play well, and like you said, that London formula might be the way to go early here.
Reduce turnovers. Go ahead, Brian.
Run the ball. Run the ball.
All the above.
Run the ball, make it happen.
All the above.
If he can reduce turnovers, there's enough opportunities for big plays to hit him, but you can't have the seven that you had in the first 3 weeks. You have to be closer to zero. Only way.
Yeah, we'll find out coming up in the next few weeks, and there's more ahead on Jaguars Weekend. How the Jaguars handled Hurricane Matthew during the bye week. Also, the Jags go for a walk with local school children. And we're firing up the grill this week on Game Day Grub. That's all coming up, but first a closer look at former Jags running back Maurice Jones-Drew on Classic Jags, presented by Lexus.
Did I say it? He's a stud.
Yeah.
Maurice Jones-Drew is a stud.
The chip on Maurice Jones-Drew's shoulder would never go away, not even when he passed Fred Taylor and Jimmy Smith on the team's all-time touchdown list. He never forgot that every team passed on him in the first round, and he wasn't going to let any of them forget it.
Because he had an I'll show you attitude. I'm going to stick it to you, and I'm not going to try to run away from you. You're going to bring it on, and we're going to go head-to-head, and we'll see if I don't knock you back 3 or 4 yards.
When you think of him, you think tough. I mean, I stood eye-to-eye with him, and I stand 5'6". I mean, imagine that guy taking all the shots he took and getting up and doing it over and over again. He was a bowling ball. I mean, that's what he was. He was a round mound of running the football. That's what he was.
Jones-Drew wasn't tall, but he certainly wasn't small. He could run over you or by you. And one thing is for certain, despite his stature, the footprint he left on the Jaguars was huge.
When he came onto the scene and the way he played those first 5 years, but I always remember thinking, my gosh, this guy takes a lot of shots. And he always would get back up.
He won the rushing title in 2011 with, I think, maybe one run over 25 yards. And I always said that year was as impressive as any year I've ever covered any player in 20 years because he won the rushing title because he wanted to win the rushing title.
The irony of Maurice Jones-Drew's size is that it made fans watch him wonder as the guy who wasn't the biggest played bigger than everyone else.
This game is hard. Stay humble. Stay humble and hungry, man, and stay together. We're going to get better, man. We are going to get better.
1, 2, 3!
Happy bunch of Jaguars after the win in London over the Colts. You can check out the full sounds of the game feature on Jaguars.com. and the Jaguars app. Welcome back to Jaguars Weekend. Now, you heard Gus Bradley there say, get better. Well, that's exactly what the city of Jacksonville and the coastal areas of Florida, Georgia, and the Carolinas are trying to do after Hurricane Matthew. But how did the team weather the storm? Jeff Loggeman's weekly visit with Gus Bradley is presented by Cadillac.
Well, here we are with the head coach and your office. And last weekend, during the bye weekend, obviously something that you've never been through. You're from Minnesota. Here a hurricane is approaching. And what was your mentality leading up to this approaching storm?
You know, it was a unique situation because you really don't know what it all entails. And I think the first thing I really heard about shows the world we live in was Tuesday at the press conference. Some of the media people were talking about, you know, the storm and the hurricane. And so that really brought to light a little bit. And then we had our team meeting the next day, and we were so engrossed into our self-scout, it caught us off guard. I know me individually, it caught me off guard.
Well, I know how coaches are. They get these things on, and it's called blinders, right? And I'm sure you had the blinders on as all of a sudden they ramp up the expectations for how severe the storm could be. So how did you take all of that?
Well, we had a team meeting on Wednesday, and then that's when we first got news that, hey, they're talking about closing the building, and, you know, we got an idea how heightened it was. And I think you want to take care of the team, make sure they're good, and the coaching staff. And then it was also to get home, you know, and make sure the family and see what the plans were and go from there.
To see what the plans were. Okay, here we
that
go.
That doesn't sound very good, does it? But you know what? That's, you know, I got home and we had a boat, so we had to make sure we got that out of the water and things like that. But just the conversation and, you know, where I'm from in Minnesota, a big storm is, you know, 60 below wind chill and a lot of snow. And in those situations, you really just hunker down in your home. And you just wait it out. And the last thing you want to do is leave your house or leave anywhere where you're at. You just stay put. And I kind of went into it with that more of that mindset.
So you were going to stay put originally?
I was going to. And, you know, my wife and I and our kids, we were talking about. But there was the unknown. And then
fortunately, I got some texts from from you, Logs, you know, kind of filling me in on what could take place and just how much impact it could have.
Fortunately, you got out. Fortunately, we all got lucky. The storm kind of stayed a little bit farther east than what was originally anticipated, so that was for the better. And I'm sure that a lot of your concern went to staff, coaches, players, or make sure everything was okay.
It did. You know, we had great communication. Our players, a lot of them got out of town. There were some that stayed put, so they were in good shape. And then our coaching staff, you know, a lot of them felt like they had to leave town too. So they went from Tennessee to Alabama to, you know, Georgia. So we really spread out just, again, with the unknowns and what could actually take place. We just feel very fortunate that we didn't get the brunt of it.
Well, so much for a bye week.
Good family time.
That's playing the way cards. It is. Yeah. Thank you, Gus.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks a lot, guys. It's now time to go into the gold room, as Sindarik Marks calls it. It's a weekly visit with a teammate. We call it Players Only.
What's up, Jan? Welcome to the gold room. A lot of people want to been hearing your name, like been making a lot of plays, and people want to know who Yannick is. And first question is, where your name come from?
My name is pronounced Yannick. Everybody calls me Yannick because that's what people have just been calling me since I was a kid. But I was named after the famous tennis player, Yannick Noah. And yeah, my mom named me that. She loved that tennis player, so that's where I got
Joaquin
the name
Noah's dad.
Yeah, exactly.
I didn't know that. You've been making a lot of noise, man. I play with you on the D-line, love rushing with you. You want me to rush over on your side a little bit more.
Yeah.
But it's a lot of good chemistry on our defensive line. What have you learned that then got you to this point? I mean, you made plays at Maryland. You came in a third-round pick. Like, what have you learned that made you elevate your game the way it's at now?
I just feel like each and every day in practice, you just got to go 100 miles per hour, and I feel like it's going to translate to the game. Also, just the film study, preparation, and I just feel like you should always have a chip on your shoulder going out and to practice and as well as the game, you know.
A lot of people don't know, like, you mellow, just how you talking now. You real mellow, but you go like that real quick. When it's game time, it's like, turn on. Like, no talk, no interaction. You all tunnel vision. Where do you get that from? Like, is that what fuel your fire and, like, make you go?
Basically, man, I've just been an underdog my whole life. People always say I wasn't big enough, wasn't fast enough, stuff like that. And, you know, like, 31 teams passed up on me in the draft, so... Each and every time I see a team, we go against the opposite team that's not in that goal until, you know, it's enough opportunity to prove to them why they missed out, so.
No doubt. Yeah. All right, man, you've been making plays getting sacks. One thing I noticed, like, you ain't got no sack celebration. It's weak. When you gonna come up with one?
You know, when the time comes, I'll come up with a dance, but as of now, I'm just gonna, you know, celebrate with my teammates. Yeah.
I celebrate with mine, too, after I celebrate by myself.
I feel you.
Hey, man, I appreciate it, man. Thank you for coming
anytime.
Through, bro.
Anytime, yeah. Man.
There's still more to come on Jaguars Weekend. Up next, a walk to school with the Jaguars. And we're grilling out this week on Game Day Grub.
Football in the UK, let's get it.
JT, you watch The Wire?
No, not really.
I wear The Wire.
Andy, come my way.
Oh, yeah. Again.
Look left.
Second and five, waist down.
Hey, you got three.
Get off and run. All right. That's what we pay you to do, all right?
The best of Jags Wired from the first few weeks of the 2016 season. Check out all the segments of Jags Wired on Jaguars.com and the Jags app. And welcome back to Jaguars Weekend. How did you get to school as a kid? Maybe you rode the bus. Maybe a parent dropped you off. I don't know if many have walked to school with a Jaguars player. Brian Sexton has more in this Baptist Health feature.
On a day that looked more suitable for riding in a car than walking on the sidewalk, and with Hurricane Matthew just days away, dozens of Jacksonville school kids laced up their shoes and walked to promote International Walk to School Day.
We want to make sure we have the safe roadways out there for all of us, and particularly children who are vulnerable when they're walking to school. You know, we're trying to reach out and doing outreach efforts to help and reinforce that. We can have engineering, we can have enforcement, and we can have education. We want to really emphasize the education part, and this is an important part of that.
Jaguars wide receiver Aurelius Ben and NASCAR driver Scott Lagacy joined the throng of Andrew Robinson students for the half-mile jaunt to school, which was presented by the Florida Department of Transportation's Alert Today, Alive Tomorrow campaign.
I'm just happy to be here, you know, because I have two kids, and, you know, the safety of kids, you know, our kids are the future, you know what I mean? So the more and more they feel safe especially coming to a place, you know, school, safe ground, you know, that's just, you know, important, and to make them feel comfortable getting here and wanting to get here all together and just finding their own way and having that responsibility.
So much danger out there to do it, to have the kids thinking about it, crossing properly, looking both ways, wearing bright clothing, those types of things, to get that message across and hopefully ingrain it in there, and to see the Jaguars step up and be a part of this year after year is really neat. They carry so much weight in our community, and I'm a fan, so it's a fun event.
Walk to School Day is a global event involving students from more than 40 countries. And here in the United States, kids in all 50 states, the District of Columbia, and Puerto Rico enjoyed something different on the way to their everyday destination. For Jaguars Weekend, I'm Brian Sexton.
Brian, thanks a lot. That is an experience those kids will never, ever forget. It's now time to get into the kitchen with Chef Tony and Michaela Bradley. It's Game Day Grub presented by Tico People's Gas. They've got the grill fired up and ready.
Welcome to Game Day Grub, presented by Tico People's Gas. We're here today at the Dreamfinders home, Palms at Nocatee, which is a natural gas community. And I want to introduce my good friend over here, Tony, Chef Tony from Publix. But we've got another gal here today.
Come on, you have more friends?
I know, I am incredibly blessed. Mary Skipper, wife of our running backs coach, Kelly Skipper. Thanks for being here today.
Thank you for having me.
Do you like steak, Mary?
I love it, and my 13-year-old will really be happy that we're doing steak.
It's great protein.
Yeah. It is so good.
But you know what makes steak really good?
What's that?
The fat that's on it. Because that's what's going to drip down.
I know about that, yeah.
oddly enough, I like to go out to the beach and kind of stand like this to get the fat off of me. But that's just how it goes. So steaks are great for grilling. I mean, that natural gas grill that we've been using has been fantastic. So we're going to continue that with this steak. First off, we're going to season our steak with salt and pepper. Just a very simple seasoning. Nothing added to this one. We're going to let the steak speak for itself. Mm-hmm. But what we want to do is, people love to put sauces on things. Steaks really don't need a lot of sauce, do they? I'll answer that. They don't.
Yeah. No.
Steaks do not. But
if they're cooked right.
We're going to cook this one right. What we like to do a lot of exploration of what's around us. So in South America, in Argentina, they have this sauce called a chimichurri. So we're going to make a version of the chimichurri today to put on the steak after it's prepared. Did you season both sides?
I'm ahead of the game. Oh, no, I didn't.
Oh, yeah. We're going to do both sides.
Busted.
Yeah. All right. So, Mary, first thing you're going to do is you're going to take that handful of capers and peppers and garlic, and you're going to put it into our bowl. Just grab it with your hand.
Oh, my gosh. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Oh, yeah. That's what we're talking about. Just right, our hands are for where it's at. You're going to squeeze the lemon in.
Okay.
Just squeeze it right on in. It's okay if we get some seeds. It's not going to hurt us. We're going to end up just spooning it on the steak anyway. Take our bowl of parsley and put in there.
Okay.
And then we're going to put some dried oregano. The dried oregano here is for that representation of the dried herbs that the gauchos would carry underneath their saddles as they rode and herded their cattle. Mix that up with the spoon for me. Now this sauce is going to sit for the time that it needs for us to go outside, grill our steaks 4 minutes on each side, give them 10 minutes to rest before we slice them, and then we'll serve them with some chimichurri, and that's our grilled steak right there.
Chimichurri steak for the win. Get that recipe and a look at all the Game Day Grub segments. Make sure you visit peoplesgas.com/cooking. There's still more to come. Getting set for the final 12 weeks, a look at some key positions for the Jags moving forward. Stay with us on Jaguars Weekend.
When somebody steps in, you have an ability to just speed things up, and I think we have that ability to do things now because we've been around each other for some time now.
Left tackle Kelvin Beecham earlier this week in the Jaguars locker room. And welcome back to Jaguars Weekend. JP Shadrick, Brian Sexton, John Osier. Well, next to Kelvin Beecham, Luke Jokel's not going to be there the rest of the year. Patrick Omame sounds like he's going to be the guy at left guard.
Well, he's the guy for this week. And how he plays will determine if he's the guy for next week.
Well, and look, it's one spot on the line. You still have your tackles. You have Brandon Leonard at center. You have A.J. Cann, who you really like. You know, you're never going to have all five guys be completely healthy. You've got to be able to plug a guy in, and it's left guard, not left tackle. They should be okay.
12 games to go. One key player from each of you for the remainder of the season for Jaguars' success. Go for it.
Malik Jackson for me.
Really?
He's been so disruptive the last few weeks, and some of the plays that he made against the screen game in London, huge. $90 million man. He played like it in London. They need him.
Well, it's an easy choice. Jalen Ramsey, he has been close to dominant as a rookie. if he combines that with some big plays, watch out.
How about number five, too? I'll take the quarterback. That's a really easy one.
Sure.
He's got to play well the rest of the way also. The Jaguars and the Bears coming up in week 6 at Soldier Field in Chicago. We'll see you next weekend on Jaguars Weekend.